618, and when you consider for a moment the great number of celestial spirits and with them the Master who have been such constant companions all through the year, loving you and trying to help and comfort you, you must see that you have been wonderfully blessed. Scarcely any human being has had such companionship as have you two, and none consciously, for to no man or woman on earth have these messages of love and truth been conveyed as they have to you. I know that while these high spirits have been in close companionship with other mortals whose souls have received the Father's love and trying to help them with their presence, yet not one has received to his sensory consciousness the realization of the presence of such spirits, and no word of their great love and solicitude have come to any mortals other than to you, Dr. Stone and Eugene. When you come to think of this, you must see how great has been the privilege and how with that privilege has come a responsibility that calls for your greatest concern and desire to do the work. Let me advise you three to think of this great fact. Well, I must not write more, but Mary Kennedy says to tell Dr. Stone that she loves him more than ever before and that her love and happiness in knowing that he is her true soulmate is greater as the year goes out. She wishes him a happy new year and knows that it will bring to both of them a closer companionship and a greater happiness than ever, and also a greater and more wonderful development of his soul in love and a consequent greater nearness of the soulmate love. All your friends send their love and wishes for a happy new year, one that shall be filled with an increased possession of the Father's love and a clearer understanding of his truths and the work that is before you. May the Father bless you both is the prayer of your own true loving. Helen. The Paget Messages 1918 January 4, 1918 I am here, John. I desire to write for a short time tonight upon a subject that I consider important, and you may consider interesting. As you may know, it has been some time since I wrote anything of a formal character and I regret very much that so much time has gone by without my being able to communicate some of the spiritual truths, and also regret that your condition has been such that I was unable to make the rapport with you that is necessary in order that I may deliver to you these messages of the nature mentioned. I have explained to you in a former recent letter, in a brief way, the law of communication and rapport, and that law, if you will try to understand it, will enable you to comprehend the reason why we have not been able to communicate these higher truths. It may seem to you that if we control your brain and not use or transmit your thoughts but only the thoughts which come from our minds, it would be immaterial what the nature of our thoughts might be, and that as your brain is used by us as a mere instrument we, having possession of your brain, would have the power to write anything we might desire. And upon a mere superficial glance at the assertion, it could be reasonably supposed to be true. But, as we have told you before, rapport and our ability to use your brain are governed by laws, and one of these laws is that a high thought cannot be transmitted through a human brain which is not in the condition that qualifies it to receive the thought, just as the brain, in matter pertaining to mere material knowledge cannot receive a conception or comprehension of some intellectual truth with which it has not had acquaintance, and transmit it. A brain cannot be used by the mind of the human to make known or present a problem in geometry, when that brain has never been used by the mind to acquire an acquaintance with or knowledge of the principles of geometry. This is an incomplete analogy, but it may serve to illustrate what I mean. In the conception by the human mind of a truth, material or spiritual, the brain must be used 619, in order to manifest or make known that conception. This is absolutely true where the idea or thought originates in the mind of the man who is using his own brain to formulate or manifest that idea or thought. The mind may have a thought or knowledge of some branch of learning, and yet when it has never used the brain to put that thought or knowledge into concrete form, the brain cannot manifest or transmit it. This law applies specifically to the capabilities of the brain where it is attempted to be used or controlled by the mind of the man who owns the brain. And from this you will see that it is possible for the human mind to have thought and knowledge of things which it cannot use the brain to express. In many of your material things of life, such as great invention, the knowledge of these inventions is in the mind, it may be, for a long time before it is formulated and expressed by the brain. And sometimes it never gets through the brain at all. The mind and the brain are not one and equivalent things, the one is the operator, the other is the thing used to operate with, so that the possessions of the operator may become manifested to others. But this law, applying to and controlling the relationship of the mind and brain possessed by the same man, does not so absolutely apply to and control the relationship of mind and brain, where the mind is that of a spirit and the brain that of a mortal, for in such case the mind may take such complete control of the brain, that the former manifestations are not governed or limited by the special experiences or want of experiences which the brain may have had in its use by the mind of the mortal along specific lines of expression or manifestation. Thus, as you may know and as it has been demonstrated by the work and experience of many human mediums, the minds of spirits have controlled the brains of these mediums, so that such brains have transmitted from these spirits expressions of various kinds of languages and mathematical truths with which such brains never have had any acquaintance or become exercised in expressing. In these instances, the brain is used merely in the sphere of intellect and the spirit who takes the Paget messages 1918, possession of that brain and uses it to express and make known the knowledge of the spirit's mind, is doing no different thing in essentials to what the human mind, controlling its own brain, could have done had the brain been exercised in those directions. The capacity of the brain, whether exercised or not by the human mind controlling its own brain, limits the power of the spirit to control in the manner and for the purpose mentioned. But this law has a further phase, and that is, the greater the general experience of the brain in its exercise by the human mind, the more perfectly can the spirit mind control it. All this is dependent upon facts which I cannot linger here to explain, such as the mediumistic qualities and susceptibilities of the human whose brain is attempted to be controlled by the spirit. And the same laws apply to the disclosure of truth and principles along the moral planes. A spirit cannot possibly use the brain of a mortal to convey or transmit through it moral precepts or truths that that brain is not capable of receiving. And I do not mean by this that the brain must have had any acquaintance with any or many particular moral truths, or must have been used by the human for the purpose of receiving or imparting these precepts, but must be in its essential capacity, potentially be able to transmit and receive these truths. And so the capacity of the brain to receive and transmit these moral truths, limits the control of the spirit over the brain to express through it these truths. The rapport of the spirit with the human is determined by the development of the brain and the moral qualities of the human at the time the rapport is attempted to be made, and this means the actual development of these conditions and not what they may appear to be to other humans, or even to the individual himself. And this development determines to a large extent the power of the spirit to use the brain to disclose the truths, either intellectual or moral. A medium can receive only such truths as his condition according to the nature of the truths, is susceptible to the forming of a rapport by the spirit. The possibility of rapport and the kind thereof, lie at the foundation of mediumship, and determines and limits the power of the spirit to convey its thoughts and the capacity of the mortal to receive them. When the medium is in a certain condition of development, the spirit, writing, can form the rapport according as that condition harmonizes with the condition of the spirit, and it is impossible 620, unless the harmony exists, for the spirit to write these things which require a greater degree of development than the medium at the time possesses. Hence, you will in a way understand why so few of the higher spiritual truths have ever been delivered to the world through the mediumship of any mortal who has been possessed of gifts of either automatic writing, as it is called, or clairvoyance or inspirational powers. As to those truths which did not require a higher degree of development than was possessed by the medium, there arose no difficulty in transmitting the same, and many mediums have been very successful in receiving the truth suited to their condition. And this fact, and law also, will explain to you why the same spirit may communicate through several mediums, and yet the communications be of a dissimilar character, that is, the communications through one medium contain higher or lower character of truth than those transmitted through some other medium, and with the result that those mortals who have heard or read these different communications, especially when critical, have been prone to believe that the same spirit was not making both communications. But this is not a just conclusion, for while the spirit was in the same condition, possessing the same knowledge at the time of both communications, yet the mediums, because of their difference in development, were unable to receive the same character of messages. You may search the whole history of spirit communications and of mediumship, and you will not find any messages of the character of those that have been transmitted through you, and for the reasons that I have stated. Swedenborg was the last and nearer perfect instrument for receiving these higher truths, and yet he, because of his want of soul development and his being bound, to a more or less extent, by his orthodox beliefs and scientific knowledge that caused him to coordinate and fit in these truths with his ideas of correspondence and such like conceptions, was a failure, and could not be successfully used to transmit these truths which we have been communicating through you. And after him other gifted and, in some respects, successful mediums were used by spirits of the higher knowledge and progression to convey truths, but their conditions were such that, under the workings of the laws governing rapport, these mediums could receive only those truths which their conditions of development permitted them to receive. The workings of this limitation was not, the Paget Messages 1918, dependent upon the condition and ability of the spirits to impart these higher truths, but upon the capacity of the mediums to receive them. You, yourself, have had experience as to how this law works and controls communication and rapport. For, as you know, it has been a long time since you were able to receive any spirit messages of these higher truths, although the spirits have been present with you many times, ready and anxious to make the rapport and deliver their messages, and you have been willing, intellectually, to receive them, but because of your condition or want of condition, the spirits could not deliver them and were compelled to wait until you get into the necessary condition. From all this you will comprehend why so very few messages containing high spiritual truths, or even moral truths, come through mediums. The mediums, mostly, are so developed that they can receive only messages dealing with the material affairs of life, and which kinds of messages I am compelled to and can truthfully say, are those that are largely desired by the mortals seeking information from the spirit world. Again, in your reading of spiritual literature you may have observed the great diversity of opinions of spirits upon the same subject, and sometimes contradictory opinions, thus causing doubt on the part of mortals, as to what are the facts existing in the spirit world as to the subject of inquiry. Well, this is due very largely to the condition of the mediums, and also to the knowledge of the spirits who attempt to communicate. For the knowledge of spirits is limited by the extent of their progress and development. Many spirits believe that what they have learned is true, and so give authoritative expression to the facts of their knowledge, and often believe what they know is all that may be known of the subject on which they communicate. And these are mostly honest in their beliefs and truthful, as they think, in their messages. And thus it is well for mortals to understand that everything written or spoken by spirits, at all times, is not to be accepted as the finality of truth. And on the other hand, apparently contradictory statements should not be taken as fraudulent merely because they are contradictory. A spirit with greater knowledge using a medium in harmony with itself, can convey to men the more exact and greater extent of truth than can a spirit with less knowledge and development using a medium in harmony with itself. Now, from what I have written, it is apparent that in order to get the greater truth, and more extended knowledge of the spirit world, mediums should make the effort to obtain larger and more intensive development of their spiritual natures as well as of their intellectual capacities. This acquirement is absolutely necessary to the reception of the higher truths which are so vital to mankind. So, you see, communication and rapport depend upon the condition of both spirits and mortals working in unison, though more I may say upon the condition of the mortal, for, if the medium is in the proper state of development, there being always many spirits present with that medium in condition and readiness, a rapport can be made. The Master is here tonight and has heard my communication and unites with me in saying, have faith and seek with all your soul for this love. Believe that I am your special angel friend. Your brother in Christ, John. January 6, 1918. I am here, Jesus. Well, my brother, I am glad to tell you that your communion with the Father tonight has been responded to. His love has inflowed into your soul in great abundance. His Holy Spirit has been bringing the love in wonderful abundance, and your soul is now filled with it, and the influence of this great love is working in your soul, and you realize its presence. If you will meditate and long for and pray to the Father as you have tonight, your soul will soon be so filled with this love that you will receive the knowledge that you have a near atonement with Him, and you will be conscious of the possession of a part of His divinity, of which we have written you. The Pentecostal shower will come to you as it did to my disciples in the days that followed my departing from them, and I will be with you also just as I was with them, and power and essence divine will be bestowed upon you so that you will be able to display the marvelous presence of this love just as they were able. So you must pray and long, and your experience tonight has given you some foretaste of what will come to you. There is nothing in all the world that can take the place of this love in its power to draw you near to, and make you in atonement with the Father. All beliefs and faiths in any and every other thing will not suffice. Sacrifice and sorrow on account of sin and Vicarious 621, the Paget Messages 1918, sufferings and mediators, will not work the transformation, because it is solely a conjunction between this divine love and your soul, that is capable of bringing you into this relationship to the Father, and the resultant consciousness that you have partaken of and possess, to some extent, His divine nature in love. Now you are in condition that makes my rapport with you complete, and I have that possession of your brain that enables me to write as I may desire, and I know that I could convey a message to you tonight in a most satisfactory way, but I will not do so, for I think it best to permit the rapport to become a little more intense, and thus enable me to write a long message without the probability of tiring you, for as you know these messages of deep truths such as the ones on the soul and God necessarily cause me to draw very intensely on your brain power. But soon now, I will come and commence to deliver my messages and continue to do so if our rapport can be maintained. And it can be, if you will only meditate and pray as you have done tonight. I have been with you very much today, entering into your thoughts and endeavoring to influence the longings of your soul. I was with you at the spiritualists' meeting, and sometime I will write you in reference to the claims of the speaker, and the real facts as to how much of what she said was inspired, or as she claims, was spoken through her by a controlling spirit. I now want you to think more than ever of the importance of your work and of the necessity for you putting all your energies and desires into the work. No one can conceive of what it means, and above all you must realize its great importance and the place that you occupy in carrying it to a successful issue. I will be with you very often, and I know that you will feel my presence and influence, and, as you do, turn all your thoughts to the Father's love, and let all your longings go to Him. Tonight, I will not write more, but it will soon write as I have said. Have faith and know that you have been selected to do the work, and that upon you rests the responsibility that is upon no other man. With my love and the Father's blessings, I will say good night. Your brother and friend, Jesus. I am here, Elizabeth. Let me say a word, and that is, that you are a very happy man just now, and so you should be, for as the Master said, you have 622, much of the love in your soul tonight. You may not fully realize this fact, but the influence and effect of its presence will manifest themselves, and you will find coming to you that wonderful peace of which the Master has told you. For a moment think that there is nothing between you and the Father, and that as regards your longings and His love they are face to face, and no mediator intervenes or can intervene. Only the Father's love and you, alone. Think of this and you will realize not only what a wonderful thing the divine love is, but what a wonderful thing your soul is that it can become so in nearness and in love with the Father. This is the only way of becoming at one with Him, and everything besides is inefficacious, ineffective, to bring about the great transformation of which the higher spirits have written you. So many spirits are engaged in this great work, which is the real second coming of Jesus, and which means the second coming of the love and mercy and privilege of receiving the love. And if you could only for a moment with your physical vision see those who are present, you would never doubt the work that you are to do, and the great responsibility that rests upon you. But as you cannot in this way see, you must believe without seeing, and let no doubt of the fact enter into your faith. I thought that I must write this tonight, for we see your condition, and many are here with you praying to the Father for a great bestowal of his love upon you. So consider what has been written you tonight, and meditate and long for and pray the Father, and you will be greatly blessed. With my love, I will say, your sister in Christ, Elizabeth. Question: Well, it has been so long since I heard or used the name that it was a little difficult to recall and formulate it. Names are of the things that we forget in a short time after being in our celestial homes, unless there is some special reason for recalling them. I am here, your own true and loving, Helen. Well, dear, I am very happy tonight, and that because of your condition of soul in the Father's love. You are nearer the Father than you have ever been, and his love is now more shed abroad in your heart than ever before, and the Master was so glad that you opened up your soul by your longings and meditation tonight. The Paget Messages 1918, many of the Holy Spirits are here tonight and united with you in your prayers to the Father, and the love was bestowed in great abundance. How blessed you are and how happy you should be, for you have a realization of the love in your soul. I know the Master is also pleased that the rapport is now so perfect, and you may expect a long message from him, and many of them. And so do the other spirits rejoice now that they realize that soon they will be able to write, as the Master wrote you, meditate, and long and pray. The spirit who wrote is one that I have never seen here before, that I am aware of, and she is a most beautiful and radiant spirit, and has her home in the high spheres of the celestial heavens. She says her name is Elizabeth, and John tells me that she is the Elizabeth of the Bible, the cousin of Mary, the mother of Jesus. She is filled with the love and seemed so anxious to write you about the Father's love and how close you are tonight to him. Well, dear, I will not write more now, for it is not best to do so, as you are in that condition when you can commune with the Father, and I want you to let your thoughts go to him with all the longings that your soul is capable of. We will remain with you as you sit and meditate and unite with you in your prayers. So my dear, dear husband, love the Father with all your soul tonight. Good night. Your own true and loving, Helen. January 9, 1918. I am here, Helen. Well, dear, I was with you tonight and saw that you were not much benefited by Billy Sunday's sermon, and of course, could not be, because the preacher said nothing to feed the hungry soul. He said some things which were very good in the way of showing men and women what they should do in order to make the earth lives more happy, and it will be well, if the hearers will heed and follow the advice. But nothing much was said to help the progress of the soul. I saw that you were not in much sympathy with the methods and sayings of the preacher, and thought that there was too much hilarity and not enough reverence present, as a meeting for the opening up of the soul and helping the development of those qualities that will lead to the Father's love and the celestial heavens. But nevertheless, some things that he said will do good to some people. You must not forget that the teachings of the Master were twofold, and for those who were not 623, in a condition to hear and understand his higher spiritual truths, he preached those things, which if followed, would make them better men and women and cause them to progress in the development of their natural love, and in this latter effort the preacher will do good, and his work must not be undervalued, for all men are not alike in their conditions, intellectual or spiritual. And besides, here and there in his preachings some truths that he utters may by its influence upon the hearts of his hearers cause such hearers to think more deeply about spiritual things of the higher nature, and in thinking, their souls may be opened up to the influence of the spirits who have the divine love in their souls, and from which may follow the longings of these hearers for this love of the Father. Everything said that tends to cause a spirit to progress towards either of the conditions of love must be encouraged, for the Father works in his own way, and frequently the love comes into a man's soul, and the man not being intellectually conscious of what the love is. Whoever is not against us in this work is, in a certain sense, with us, for the salvation of men is the object of all our efforts, and if we or mortals cannot awaken dead souls to a life in the higher condition, then we must work to bring them into that condition that will cause them to get into a state of purified natural love. They are all the children of God, and if they will not become his beloved children in the divine sense, then he wants them to become the pure spirits that the first parents were before the fall. so do not criticize or look down upon the work of this preacher because he does not show men the true way to the celestial heavens, or because he says and does things that may not appear to be reverent. God looks at the heart, and the intentions and the forms of expression used by the preacher are not important, except as they may have the effect of causing some soul to turn away from the truths that the preacher may communicate. All men are not alike, and the preachings of the man, while they may, as some say, disgust some hearers, yet others will be affected by them and good will be done. I write this because I see that you are inclined to criticize the preacher and conclude that his teachings are not conducive to spiritual progress. Well, as you have been told, the large majority of men and spirits will never become inhabitants of the celestial heavens, but that is no reason why they should not be taught the way that will tend to purge them of their sins so far as the natural love is. The Paget Messages 1918, concerned. Those who will not become angels must become purified men, and any and everything that will help them to become the latter is approved by the Father and is the object of His favor. Well, dear, I will not write more now, as I see that you are cold and must go to bed. But remember this, that while all men will not become dwellers in the spheres of the soul in the celestial kingdom, yet they are brothers, and the favored brothers must try and help in every way possible the less favored brothers in obtaining that which the Father has designed shall be their portion, even though they refuse or neglect to seek for and obtain the great goal of divine love and immortality. So love me and pray to the Father for His love, and with all the sincerity of your soul, thank Him that you have found the way to His great love and the mansions in the divine heavens. And what I have said to you I say to Dr. Stone, for I see that his thoughts are somewhat similar to your own, and that you both think that unless a preacher can and does show the way to the celestial kingdom, his work is not worthy of much consideration and falls short of what he as a savior of souls should do. And so it is. But all cannot teach the higher truths, for they do not know or understand them, but that fact must not cause you, or any who know the truths, to think that this work, when sincere and beneficial in its moral teachings, should not be taught. I thought best to write this tonight, so that you may not get a wrong conception of what men who cannot teach the great truths should or should not teach. All men are not in that condition of soul and love, and they should be taught the way that will lead them to those mansions in the heavens that will be theirs by free will choice. I love you, my dear husband, and am closer to you in your thoughts, and do not want you to think wrong in anything, even though you think right in a great many and the most important things. Pray and let your faith increase, and believe that we are all with you trying to direct you aright, and one who knows is more anxious than any of us that your knowledge of the truths increase, and your experiences arising from that knowledge bring to you with more convincing force the truths, that God is love, and your God. Good night. Your own and true and loving, Helen. January 12, 1918. 624. I am your grandmother. Let me write a few lines tonight, as I have been listening to your conversation with some interest, and I desire to say a few words that may encourage you both to press forward to the goal which you have before you, a home in the celestial heavens and the acquirement of a nature divine, which only those who know the way can obtain, by following the way that the Master has so lovingly taught you. You will not be disappointed in your efforts, for when you long for the love and receive portions of it, every experience of that kind will help you to get more and create in you increasing desires. You must not think that it is possible to obtain this love in its fullness, and then permit your longings to decrease whenever you feel that the love has come to you in wonderful abundance, for I must tell you that we in the celestial heavens know and realize that there is always more beyond what we obtain. Even the Master prays to the Father for an increase of this love in his soul. And if you could see the evidence of the love that he possesses, as we see it, you would probably think that nothing more could be obtained, or that there was any greater amount to be obtained, and with us, this fact of the endlessness of this love is that which keeps us always striving, and consequently, happy, because in realizing our experiences in our progress, and how each successive stage of that progress has brought us greater and greater happiness, we know, I say know, that what is beyond must mean a greater happiness and a nearer approach to the Father Himself. So I say, Let not your strivings in the slightest particular decrease, and you will find that increased happiness will be yours. I will stop now, and with my love to you both will say good night. Your loving grandmother, Anne Rollins. I am here, Mary. Well, I must say a word because I have the opportunity, and I'm just now like the old lady who never missed a wedding when she had the slightest chance of being present.